Hello and a warm welcome to the debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Welcome to the show. Well, this is the 10th consecutive Yellow Vest protest rally held in France in protest against the economic issues and also the state of democracy in that country. Protesters have defied a national debate proposed by President Emmanuel Macron, who is trying to calm down the situation. 5,000 security forces were deployed to the capital, Paris. They used violent tactics against protesters again, including shooting rubber bullets and using water cannon. Will protesters take heed of the president's call for national dialogue? Where will the protests lead to? To start, let's watch a report.
Yellow vest protesters are out again. It's the 10th consecutive weekend of anti-government protests in France, and people take to the streets across the country despite President Emmanuel Macron's call for a national debate aimed at stemming yellow vest protesters' simmering anger. Armored vehicles and nearly 5,000 police forces have been deployed to the streets to contain the protests. Like previous weeks, security forces resorted to tear gas and batons to disperse the crowd. Several were injured and many were arrested. Volunteer medics say some of the injuries look like war wounds.
I've said it before, these are war wounds. I need strong equipment, bandages, compressors. I'm not here just applying saline solution. I pick up people off the floor.
The rallies started in mid-November as a simple protest against planned fuel hikes, but soon morphed into mass demonstrations against Macron and his policies. Some of the protesters say they're on the streets because they have financial problems.
Let's just say that we demand first better purchasing power for low-paid workers and aid to the small pensioners.
Some others believe that the least the government can do is to acknowledge their difficulties.
I expect absolutely nothing from the government, but at the least they should listen to us and they stop hitting at the population and stop dividing the population like they are doing now.
At first, Macron refused to give in to the protesters' demand. But in mid-December, he was forced to scrap the planned fuel tax rises after protesters didn't die down. Later, he even promised extra cash for minimum wage earners and tax cuts for pensioners. But the demonstrators say Macron's concessions are not enough as he can't relate to their financial difficulties. Many of them are calling for his resignation. Macron insists that his planned debate can solve many problems, but many Yellow Vest protesters say they will boycott the talks. It seems that they want a radical policy shift in favor of the low earners. However, their unwillingness to communicate makes it difficult for the government to quell the anger that continues to boil across France.
That was Amir Turkovshan reporting. Let's now see who's joining us in this edition of the debate. We'll have author and the lecturer Jonathan Fryer out of London, and also professor of economics and author of Debunking Economics, Steve Keen, who's joining us from Amsterdam. Thank you, gentlemen, for being us on this debate. Let me start with Jonathan Fryer. What has made the Yellow Vest ralliers take to the streets for the 10th week in a row?
Well, it's interesting, as your introductory report suggested, the Yellow Vest protests have mutated since they first started. Originally, it was particularly people living in rural areas who depend on their cars and vans to get around, who were specifically protesting against proposed fuel hikes of diesel oil in particular. But since then, all sorts of other issues have been raised, including the cost of living. And that is what, of course, President Macron has said he will now address. But we have to admit that there are also other groups, both of the far right and the far left, who started to latch on to some of these demonstrations. So that although most of the direct confrontations have been between police and protesters, there have been protesters attacking journalists, for example, and the organization Reporters Without Borders has formally asked the Yellow Vest, please stop attacking journalists. You are damaging democracy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's now go to Amsterdam to Steve Keen. Steve, protesters have a plethora of demands that range from wealth tax on the well-to-do to the implementation of popular votes that allow citizens to propose new laws. Will the government take heed of those demands?
I think absolutely not. Macron, as I've described, is the last of the neoliberals who really believes that in some ways democracy is a nuisance rather than an important part of society, because it means you get populism dominating good technocratic government, which is what he believes he's delivering. Of course, I believe he's quite deluded, but there's no way that he's going to be saying, let's just accede to these demands, or let's give more involvement for the public in deciding economic policy.
Mm-hmm. Now back to London. Jonathan, President Emmanuel Macron is saying that he is open to listen to the protesters and that he has offered a national debate or dialogue, but some protesters are arguing that there is no use in this dialogue as the government is the one to decide for them again. How do you regard this offer?
Well, what Emmanuel Macron is doing in his so-called great national debate is basically a tour of town halls all around the country, hand in hand with the mayors of those towns and cities, to have extensive dialogue, not only with employees of the town halls, obviously, but also with members of the population who turn up. And I think it's rather sad that some of the Yellow Vest protesters are basically saying no, they won't engage, because if they don't engage, then how can they influence the direction of travel as far as economic policy is concerned? And we have to remember, of course, that Emmanuel Macron was elected on a great wave of anti-establishment party protest himself, though his popularity has plummeted since he started to enact exactly what he had promised, which is more liberal policies in the sense of reducing the national deficit and curbing some of the French very generous social and work practices that exist, the short working week, for example, what he sees as the lack of competitiveness in the French economy compared with, for example, Germany or even Great Britain.
Mm-hmm. Now let's go to Steve. Steve, the protest rallies have caused some of the worst violence seen in decades in Paris. You know, guns have been used and protesters have sustained serious injuries. We have had reports of them. One of them just got out of coma after 6 days. Also, France's human rights chief and protesters both are calling for a ban on the police use of guns. Will that happen, you think?
Well, the ban on guns might well be necessary, because if you get deaths coming out of this, then the political opprobrium will be overwhelming. But of course, don't forget, France has got a long history of public protests leading to significant political change. That's where the democratic revolution in Europe began, with the French Revolution. Of course, it went backwards for quite a while, but in the sense, the politics we have today were defined by French political action back in the 1700s and 1800s. So one of my Canadian colleagues points out that regularly between 400 and 2,000 cars are torched on normal national days in France. So there is a tradition of very violent, in that sense, violent demonstrations are a part of the French culture. So you're not going to get rid of them in any way, particularly if Macron continues provoking them by having police armed with, effectively deadly weapons.
Mm-hmm. And Jonathan, what do you think? Will these heavy-handed tactics as police are using against Yellow Vest protesters put an end to these protests, or will just infuriate them further and they will keep continuing taking to the streets again?
No, certainly the heavy-handed tactics are counterproductive from the point of view of the French government. It's not guns that actually are being used. It's a weapon which fires what is called flash balls. They're tiny round rubber bullets, if you want to call them bullets, but they're not shaped like bullets. But of course, if you fire these at close quarters, then indeed they can cause horrible injuries, as happened with the person who went into a coma, one other person who was hit in the face with one and has been seriously injured. So I think the police do indeed have to moderate their use of such weapons. It was interesting today in Lyon, France's second city, the police were basically relying on tear gas, which is very unpleasant, but nonetheless less dangerous to health unless it is literally straight into your face. But there has been violence on both sides. I mean, we have to remember that on the 3rd of December, when things really came to a head, crowds of Gilets Jaunes and some of the people who had latched onto them went through the streets of Paris burning cars and smashing the windows of department stores and looting shops. Now, that is not civil protest, that is criminality.
Mm-hmm. Of course, some people are saying that, as you said, some other people latched on to the protesters, and maybe they were provoked by some elements in order to justify this police brute force against them. But anyway, let's go to Steve. Steve, why hasn't there been any reaction or condemnation of the use of brute force against peaceful protesters in France? You know, this wouldn't have been the case if the same thing had happened elsewhere in the world.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. The media ignores violence against demonstrators in the West and harps up about it happening in Iran, happening in Latin America. So I don't want to say an agenda being run by the media, but they fall into the conventional beliefs that their governments themselves put out in a lot of ways. So yeah, there should be much more reporting of this. Quite a few of my friends in France are quite frustrated that they know this is not being reported in most of the Western media. Though I think that's changing because I think in some ways the media is expecting it to go up to die down rather than keep on going for 10 consecutive weekends.
Mm-hmm. Well, apart from media, Steve, what about the governments? What about world bodies and fora? They have also been silent too.
Well, again, that's the solidarity of the West. They're not about to criticize somebody who's, as I said, the last of the neoliberal rulers, when that's been the flavor of the last 30 or 40 years of European politics. The only exception is the Italian leader who came out and attacked Macron directly. And that's because he's part of, this revolt against neoliberal policies. So long as the neoliberal solidarity remains, they won't criticize Macron. And I think virtually no matter what happens.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jonathan, is President Emmanuel Macron sincere in his offer for negotiations? You know, some are arguing that this is a maneuver to outsmart the Yellow Vest protesters and buy time before the Euro elections in May.
Well, I think he is sincere in the sense that he has listened to some of the demands you mentioned earlier, the issue of the raising of the minimum wage and the cutting of taxes for pensioners, which were two of the concerns which were raised early on in the campaign of the Gilets Jaunes. But he's not going to change his overall economic policy because of these demonstrations, that's clear. He's set himself on a particular path and believes that this needs to be done. But the issue of the European elections is very interesting because the whole of the European Union, all of the 27 member states, and maybe Britain if Brexit doesn't happen, will go to the polls, and he's worried clearly that the groups like Gilets Jaunes and populist nationalist groups across the continent are going to do very well in those elections. And we've seen copycat demonstrations in various different countries, including here in London, in Britain, though these are not people necessarily protesting against low wages or what they see as an elite government, but rather they are ultra-nationalists who are xenophobic and really quite nasty.
Right. Okay, let me put this question to Steve. Steve, why do you think Yellow Vest protests have also spread elsewhere? We have had it in Brussels and London and elsewhere.
Well, what's going on is the neoliberal philosophy basically is you earn what you deserve. You pay what economists call your marginal product. And somebody being paid £1 million a year in the finance industry, therefore is contributing much more to society than, say, a nurse working in an emergency ward being paid £25,000 a year. Now, that is an insult to these people because they know how hard they're working, and they know it's their bargaining power which is being reduced doesn't reflect their productivity at all. It's a power distribution issue. Now, as a large part of the neoliberal reforms, and of course that's what Macron is now imposing upon unions and bargaining capacity for workers in Europe, in France, is reducing their capacity to bargain for wages, increasing their costs, and making it impossible for them to live. So this is because it has been applied in many, not just France, obviously. France is a latecomer to this. There's, of course, going to be some copycat because the same issues apply, obviously, in the UK. They certainly apply in Italy. So there's a lot of reasons why this can be picked up by countries elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. And Jonathan, you mentioned protests of similar, you call it copycat protests in London. There is also, people are also divided in the UK regarding Brexit and elsewhere. They have other issues, as also Steve mentioned. So what is this an indication of what's going on in the European Union?
Well, there are various things going on at the same time. In Britain, obviously, Brexit is the big issue. It's completely dominating the whole of the political scene as well as the time in Parliament. And with only a couple of months now to go before the planned departure from the European Union, the very divided country is getting more and more anxious about what's happening, and we're seeing demonstrations both by those who insist that Brexit must go ahead and those who think that the whole thing is a terrible mistake. But one area I think I would find ground for agreement with Steve is that there is also huge resentment to the fact that really since the financial crisis of 2008, the heads of big companies have seen huge pay rises, some of them millions and millions of pounds or dollars a year, whereas ordinary workers, and that includes university lecturers, teachers, nurses, and so on, have seen their pay in real terms actually decline. And that is a real issue of grievance, and rightly so. Mm-hmm. So it's not just Emmanuel Macron that needs to redress that, but Theresa May in Britain and the other European leaders.
Mm-hmm. Now, Steve, the Yellow Vest movement does not find President Macron to be qualified to address their issues and problems. Who is the right person to do that then?
Unfortunately, it's Brussels, because as Jonathan said, he won't change his economic policies because of this. And even if he wanted to change them, he couldn't because of the rules of the Maastricht Treaty. If you would have seen that Brussels has come out and said, well, we'll allow a temporary increase in France's deficit to finance part of the minimum wage increase Macron's talking about, but there has to be a temporary change. So he doesn't have political sovereignty, he doesn't have economic sovereignty, and if they want to really take their protests, then they've got to take them to Brussels.
Mm-hmm. And Jonathan Fry, what do you think is the solution to the French woes? What must be done, and who should do it?
Well, one can only hope that this great national debate does come forward with some answers, but I'm not holding out too much hope, I have to say, because the problems are so huge and seemingly intractable. But they will be debated in the run-up to the European elections. And what I hope is that in France, this doesn't mean that therefore Marine Le Pen, the leader of the far-right group, used to be called the National Front, basically will lead a surge and try and ride this wave of yellow vest protest to suggest that therefore what is needed is authoritarian government. And that is really worrying, because we're already seeing authoritarian government in Hungary and in Poland, and some might say, perhaps Steve would disagree on this, in Italy as well.
Steve, Jonathan also mentioned rightist governments, Holland, elsewhere. Could the same thing happen to France?
Absolutely. I mean, the only reason that Macron won is because he wasn't Marine Le Pen. Given that what he's done has rapidly alienated a large part of the electorate from him, that being Marine Le Pen is no longer the negative it was at the last election. This is one of the fears I expressed when he won, that if he's going to impose these policies, which A, won't work, and B, will make things worse for the working class and poor workers in France, then that will legitimize the second run, that Marine Le Pen can make at the presidency. So I think in this case, unless some significant moves happen on the left to give an alternative which has similar economic policies to what the National Front is putting forward, then yes, this will potentially allow the rise of Marine Le Pen at the next election.
Mm-hmm. And Jonathan, what do you think will become of the Yellow Vest movement protests in France? Will they go on, and will they finally be able to get what they want?
Well, I think some people will continue to protest. I mean, it was noticeable today that whereas some people have been calling for 1 million people to go out on the streets in Paris, actually what they have was maybe 20 or 30,000, which is a notable number, but nothing like what they were hoping for. What's interesting also is, and relevant to recent discussion we had here, is that there are no leaders to the Yellow Vest movement.
Mm-hmm.
In 1968, the year of French revolt, there was Danny Cohn-Bendit, who in fact then later became a member of the European Parliament. But there's no one like that who can really rally support, and that is desperately needed. They want to be a leaderless movement, but frankly, in the real world, you need a leader who people can rally behind and support.
Okay, and one last question to Steve. What do you think is the solution to the French problems, briefly, please?
Well, the only way out is to break out of the neoliberal policies, but they're built into the Maastricht Treaty, they're built into the very fabric of the European Union. So mm-hmm. I've been arguing for a long time the euro has to go, and countries have to regain national sovereignty, and then they can make their own political decisions with some effectiveness rather than being stifled by Brussels. But I don't think it's going to happen in France straight away.
All right. Okay. With that, we come to the end of this edition of The Debate. Let me thank our guests who joined us. We had author and lecturer Jonathan Fryer from London, and also professor of economics and author of Debunking Economics, Steve Keen, who joined us from Amsterdam. And thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you next time.